Amen. Most of us take it for granted that we can go directly to God in prayer. It has not always been so. In Old Testament times, we read of Adam walking and talking with God in the Garden of Eden. We read of God speaking to Noah about building an ark. We might need one in a minute. We read of God telling Abraham to move to the promised land and telling Abraham that he will make of him a great nation. We read of Jacob wrestling with God. In these early stories of God's relationship with his people, we do not read of priests. While the children of Israel were in slavery in Egypt, they experienced priests. The priests in Egypt sacrificed to idols and told the people about the gods of the Egyptians. The priests of Egypt were necessary for the people to understand what their gods wanted. After many years in Egypt, the children of Israel came to expect gods to have a physical form, and they expected priests to tell them what to do to please the gods. After Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, they came to a mountain. Moses went up the mountain to talk to God, and God told him to tell the children of Israel this: "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation." God's plan was for all the people to be set aside for God. All the people were to have a priestly relationship with God. Shortly thereafter, Moses went up the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. When he returned, he established the tabernacle for worship of God and a priesthood for leadership in worship and teaching of the laws. According to George Buttrick in the Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible, the establishment of the priesthood does not exclude the rest of the people from their special relationship with God, end quote. However, over time, the priesthood became more and more separated from the people. By the time of Jesus, the priests and the Levites, that's the tribe of Israel set aside for temple service, became more and more separated from the people. This is particularly well illustrated by Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan. As you recall, an Israelite was robbed and beaten and left for dead by the side of the road. Jesus said that the first person to come upon the wounded man was a priest, but he crossed to the other side of the road. Jesus then said the second person to come upon the wounded man was a Levite, but he also passed by on the other side. The church officials of Jesus' day were so disconnected from the people that they would not even stop and help an injured countryman. The person who did stop was an enemy of the Jews, a Samaritan. At the end of this story, Jesus asked, "Which of the persons was a neighbor to the injured man. It was clear the priests were not. So if God establishes his covenant people to be priests, what does that look like? We have to look no further than Jesus. Jesus is our example of what a true priest looks like. Remember, each of us are God's covenant people. Each of us is called to be a priest and follow Jesus, our high priest. This is one of the key points of the Reformation and our Reformed faith, which says the priesthood of the believer. In reaction to the church of his day, Martin Luther emphasized Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, which says this: "Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." To emphasize this point, we do not call our pastors priests. Because of the history that priests tend to become intermediaries between the people and God. To further emphasize this point, we do not have an altar against the back wall in our church. Because altars are a place where a priest makes offerings to God on behalf of the people. Instead of an altar, we have a table where Jesus, our high priest, invites all of us. We do not need anyone to go to God for us, because Jesus has already gone to God for us and continues to pray for us. We see this in today's scripture lesson, a passage which is sometimes called the other Lord's Prayer. In this passage, Jesus acts as our high priest. Jesus prays for us. It's up to us to follow our high priest. It is up to us to follow Jesus' example and be a blessing to the world. We do this by studying Jesus, because as Jesus said in this prayer, "For the words you gave me, I have given to them." By studying and following Jesus' words, we are living according to God's will. With God's help through the Holy Spirit, we can become one with God, become true priestly believers, and live out God's purpose for us here on earth. That is what it means to be sanctified. To be sanctified is to be set aside for God's purpose. If we truly seek to live according to God's word, according to the example of Jesus, the Word made flesh, our high priest, we are becoming sanctified. Sanctification is a process whereby we become more and more in tune with God's will. John Wesley, the father of the Methodist Church, is known for describing three aspects of God's grace: prevenient, justifying, and sanctifying. Prevenient simply means comes first. God reaches out to us first. The second, justifying, simply means that we are set right with God by God's free gift, not by anything we do to earn it. Third, sanctifying is our continuing growth with God's help in becoming what we were created to be. This process is continuing and best done prayerfully. Jesus, our high priest, prays for us, and we should pray for each other. As we know, Jesus expects those who serve him to serve others. After Peter denied Jesus when he was afraid for his life, Jesus, after the resurrection, came to Peter and asked him three times, "Peter, do you love me?" Each time Peter answered that he did. And Jesus said, "Feed or tend my sheep." Jesus was telling us that we show our love for him by loving those whom God loves. A priest is God's representative to the world. Jesus was and is God's highest and best representative to the world. We, as the body of Christ, are also God's representatives to the world. May each of us live up to our calling as God's priests, following and representing our high priest, Jesus Christ. Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, let's stand together and say what we believe using the words printed in the bulletin, taken from the Confession of 1967. What do you believe? Life in Christ is life eternal. The resurrection of Jesus is the sign that God will consummate the work of creation and reconciliation beyond death and bring to fulfillment the new life begun in Christ. New life in Christ takes shape in a community in which people know that God loves and accepts them in spite of what they are. They therefore accept themselves and love others, knowing that no one has any ground on which to stand except God's grace. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 465, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.